time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul the key. Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul the key.
Welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show. This is Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician, and my special guest today is that wild man, Dr. Fred Bell. Welcome to the show, Dr. Bell.
Hi, Dr. Valerie. How are you doing?
I am doing great. I just got back from your shindig that you had down there in Laguna Beach, the Fred Bell.
You were there at my seminar?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't see you.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's because you were running around like a wild man.
Oh, yeah, I was, wasn't I?
Yes, you were. And listeners, today I invited Dr. Bell to be on the show just to talk about the seminar and all the information that was given, and we had a great time. And, you know, Fred's always a great guest to have on because he's a wild man. He has all kinds of stuff that comes out that is not planned. So,
yeah, it's called spontaneous emission.
Yeah, is that what it is? It should be really good today after that weekend that we had. That was quite something. And it was really lovely, by the way, to be at the Lisos Creek Inn. And I thank you for setting up those accommodations. That was really a nice place. And it was kind of interesting to note, too, that we had quite a lot of interruptions there.
Oh, yeah, that's the dark forces.
Yeah.
That even got into a few people that were there. It was great.
Yeah, it was really amazing.
Yeah, they booked the room three times over. I've only done shows there for about 25 years and only probably brought them at each show revenue, maybe $10,000 to $20,000 in accommodations, people attending there, you know, taking rooms and that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably easily a million-dollar client at this point. That's how they treat million-dollar clients. It's part of the unit is called the Montage, which is supposed to be better than the Ritz-Carlton and a couple other high-end hotels. The main flagship is over there on Pacific Coast Highway, but that is a pretty nice resort. It's got a 9-hole golf course and everything.
Oh, yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
The rooms were wonderful, and other than the noise that we had and the mix-ups with the rooms and stuff, which I thought was really hysterical.
Part of the show.
Yeah, it was quite something. And listeners, if you've never been to one of Dr. Bell's Health Science and Energy seminars, you owe it to yourself to go next time. I mean, not only does Dr. Bell bring in all these goodies that he has, including the fire stars and the micro fire star and the flamethrowers and the portamids and all this stuff. I mean, everything was there. That room was hopping. And it was hopping to the point where there were noises coming out of the wall that nobody could trace down. And remember when you first started talking and there was like this tapping that was going on?
Oh, yeah.
And it just tap, 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 and it got more and more insistent. And sounded like construction noise. And then as we went on through the day, it just got louder and louder and louder. Finally, it sounded like somebody was trying to start up a helicopter there.
Yeah, I know. It's a little haunted.
That was wild.
It should be called Ben Brown.
Yeah, that was something else. And I was talking to Mikkel, and she said, well, we went all over the building. We talked to the management, and there was no construction going on. Nobody knows what that was.
Yeah, it was a little tapping.
Yeah.
It's like on the Queen Mary. You get a little there, too, you know.
Ah.
No, our shows, we always have a divine presence there. It's interesting because one of the individuals who was there seemed to have didn't understand quite what was going on, but everybody else seemed to, and it was really good. And the one who didn't understand seemed like he got a little possessed, and that happens too. Occasionally we get somebody come there, usually as a guest or something, and they get a little possessed. And that's happened in my seminars over the years. And that's how I get to read people. Sometimes I'll have a special guest come in and let them... give them free rein, and sometimes they hang themselves, sometimes they turn out to be saints. You never know how it goes.
Wow.
But in the overall scheme of things, it was really a great seminar, and it's true to form. Everything comes perfectly at a seminar like that. Where a lot of my contacts with sannyasi occurred right above the wall that the screen was on, which was the west wall. The mountain right behind there, straight above that, was the mountain that the Pleiadians used to come down in their ships and hover over. And I would be over one mountain in where I live, which is about a quarter of a mile back from that, and then we witnessed the ships there a lot. So there's a lot of energy in there, and it's the bottom of a volcano, an old extinct volcano, and the Indian tribe that lived in that area, in those caves right above where there's lots of caves, called the Algonquin Indians. And they had a second dig going from that. They didn't do too much excavation there, because the main tribe headquartered down at down in El Morro Bay, which is about 2 miles north, University of California, Irvine was doing a big dig over there, and this is a 20,000-year-old Indian tribe, and they came up with evidence about 15 years ago that this Indian tribe had some artifacts that appeared to be extraterrestrial of origin, and after that happened, the government came in and cordoned off the area, and that's a national park over there, but that area, even today, you can't go in it because the government won't allow people in because they're still excavating this Indian tribe that had ET contact. So
Wow. There's
a lot of interesting information.
Well, maybe that was what we were hearing in those walls.
Yeah, interesting information.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that fascinated me, and, you know, I love listening to you speak anyway. I'm one of your biggest fans, I think, and I love the energy, and I love the incredible knowledge that comes forth, and sometimes the stuff comes out of your mouth that you didn't even know you were going to say.
That's most of the time.
Yeah.
The difference now is it's okay, and before I used to get my face slapped, but it's more under control now.
Well, you know, it's really wonderful because I find that my questions get answered.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
You know, and you didn't slap me once, so I guess I was doing okay.
Yeah, you were doing fine. I mean, I was just about to ask you a question a couple times, and then the answer would come out. And at one point, though, it was really funny because it was like I would try to say something and nothing would come through. It was like I was invisible, and I thought, that's kind of interesting. And it wasn't just you.
Yeah.
It was like all the people sitting around me, and I thought, now, how did I become invisible?
Yeah. I got to tell you something. I don't know how you're going to take this. It's going to be an insult or a compliment.
We'll see.
But this is what I'm going to tell you. And I told Mikkel this, and I there's only one other person that I've ever known in my life that I just got totally bubbly inside, totally euphoric inside years ago. One other person I ever met, and she was a singer, and I met a lot of people in my time.
Mm-hmm.
But you had, I mean, I don't know whether she had your energy or you had her energy, but she was the lead singer in the Mamas and Papas. Her name was Cass Elliott.
Oh, cool.
And Cass Elliott, I swear to God, I'm such an energy person. I almost cried when I got near you. I didn't let anybody know that because I haven't, you know, Cass passed on quite a while ago.
Uh-huh.
But my God, what a beautiful energy she was. And she brought the heart and soul to the Mamas and Papas. And the band only lasted 2.5 to 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
That they became one of the most sought-after bands in the world. In that short meteoric rise to success, it was her energy. And John Phillips, his ex-wife, Michelle, who I became a good friend, she's an actress now, I know her very
mm-hmm.
well. Dennis Doherty, I know him very well.
Mm-hmm.
After Cass left the band, it wasn't the Mamas and Papas anymore.
Yeah, I thought she was wonderful, too. Actually, I consider that a great compliment.
Yeah, it is a compliment, believe me.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah.
And I'll tell you something. It's nice to meet somebody that has that energy because that woman, when you were around her, it didn't matter. She was always happy, very spiritual. She didn't have to say anything. You just felt good.
Mm-hmm.
And this band could not fight when she was around. Bands always fight. They have huge egos. Everybody loved Cass Elliott. Yeah. Everybody loves you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, everybody at my seminar really fell in love with you.
Oh, that's
you
great.
You could have stolen the show if you wanted to, you know.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're amazing.
Well, thank you.
I'm glad I finally met you for the first time.
That was so much fun. I was so happy to meet you and Mikkel and the rest of the people. It was so wonderful to be able to connect with people of like mind and heart.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, for so long, I don't know about you, but for me, I have felt alone for so long, for so many years, because it was like you're slogging through the muck.
Yeah, I know. That's why we have BBS Radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. We only have the best here at BBS Radio.
And it's so much fun, too, that Don got to be down there.
Well, I don't know about that, you know. I don't know if I wanted Don there or not. He's such a nerd, but, I mean, you know. We'll forgive Don from his shortcomings, and it's good to have him, I guess, you know.
Yeah, I think he's pretty good, and I was getting a kick out of Winfrey also.
Oh, yeah, Winfrey's a trip, isn't he?
Oh, he was. I just was sitting there laughing, and Layla kept looking at me and saying, you know, you're awful quiet. I said, I'm just laughing.
Yeah, I thought everybody was looking at Don and laughing at him, because I always look at him, and he makes me laugh.
Oh, know? Yeah, he's so cheerful.
I think it's his mustache that's getting me now. Maybe his short hair. I'm not sure what it is about Don. Don,
yeah, like what's up with that, Don? You know, I mean, you've got hair. You should be growing it.
I don't know who's uglier, Don or his brother, you know, between the two of them. They're the ugliest people I've ever seen, but, you know, even though they're ugly, they're spiritually pretty good, you know
what
I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You have to give them that.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. So that was so much fun, and you know, I just enjoyed so much just listening to the people who came to the seminar. You had people from all over the world.
Yeah, I did. It was interesting.
Yeah, and one of the guys I got to know a little bit because I had been emailing with him for about a month before he came over.
Yeah.
And he came from Australia.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, Scott.
Scott Malloy, yeah.
Yeah, he was...
I like Scott.
Yeah, such a nice guy, and... You know, it's just really interesting getting to spend some time and in his energy and getting to meet the other people, Steve Barish's friends, and unfortunately Steve was not able to be there, and Virginia Miller had planned to be there too, and the darkness went after both of them.
Yeah, it does that.
Yeah.
There's always, with my seminars, I remember a long time ago, one of the earlier, you know, back in the 80s, you know, I remember when I was doing trying to do the first really big taste of my effectiveness. It was about 82 when the CIA in those days was pretty it was kind of a renegade organization. That was when George Bush was in charge of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to sabotage a seminar that they did down in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And actually they succeeded. I saw disinformation at work, and you know, that was a time when I wasn't, you know, really associated with anybody over there. It's been a long time since I'd done anything, and I guess I was considered a rogue. And they really challenged me, and I saw how they came in and they scared a few people and disinformation, this and that. And this is a true story.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that when that seminar didn't go together, that I had finally made it. When a government agency would come in and try to wreck my seminar before it ever started by intimidating people.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a story behind all this with facts and numbers and people's names, but it was really amazing because they did wreck that one, but it really taught me something. I was effective.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, when I started doing a little bit of favors for the intelligence community here and there, because they realized after a while, because I was having all these contacts all over Texas and that this might not be a smart thing to do with this disinformation stuff. So the attitude changed, and some probes were sent out.
Mm-hmm.
And some personalities and things happened. And then suddenly they were behind me pretty strong. Up until the time that George Tenet left, there was a really strong positive presence.
Mm-hmm.
And when you reach those avenues, you know, of even the government, I feel that you're really becoming effective. You know
oh,
what
yeah.
I mean? So when I do a seminar now, there's all kinds of people that show up with all kinds of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is they show up and there is an attendance.
Yeah.
And because of that, you know, I think everybody learns, including me, from one of these seminars. It's, you know, it's about getting ready for what we're about to face, being strong enough to embrace our own misdeeds and good deeds, and being strong enough and effective enough spiritually to recognize what the hell's going on in the bigger picture, you know?
Yeah, that was the thing, you know, and I was watching some of the people in the audience, and some of them were just freaked out, and, you know, when I did my bit, I said, listen, you're supposed to know what's going on and do your part to stop it, you know, whatever your part happens to be, and not be afraid. You
exactly.
know, it's not about getting into the fear, it's about remembering who you are.
Yeah.
And, you know, once you do that, there's nobody that can stop you, nobody and nothing. And as you said before, you know, if you're in your true, full essence, then there's nothing in the universe that can get you.
Right.
Anywhere in creation. And I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
And
that's
so I've noticed, you know, as things have come after me through the years, that, you know, they're actually helping me because they're making me remember who I am.
Exactly. And the big thing with all of this is that, remember, we demonstrated on the first day, we demonstrated the upside-down, right-side-up pyramid, the receptor, the chi
mm-hmm.
force, how poisons are in your body, how it dispels it, how your energy works, what a
mm-hmm.
scalar wave was. You could feel it. You could feel your own chi force. We had a martial artist come in and give people a qigong, which is a breathing experience. That we got everybody into their bodies, and we got everybody sampling and feeling the energies.
Yeah.
That was good, huh?
No, that was really good.
Yeah.
I think because some of those people really were very tentative to begin with.
Yeah.
And they, I guess they were just beginners and down this path, and they just really didn't know what to make of all this.
Right.
You know, they wanted to know, which, of course, is why they were there. But, you know, there were a couple that were kind of stubbornly, you know, hanging on to their fear even at the end.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, that's their choice.
Yeah. But But the bottom line was everybody got something out of it. Everybody bought something to play with, whatever level they could, you know, go into the entry level.
Mm-hmm.
We were playing around with a lot of material things, even in a spiritual seminar. But the bottom line is we got a lot of material things hammering at our spiritual bodies with a very, very bad technology brought here by the extraterrestrials with Theta Reticuli, and a lot of disinformation going on from the NSA and people very close to us disseminating that information right in our own midst. And so all this is going on, so it's a little bit hard, but if you can, that seminar was a little bit of everything. It was all there. Every entity was represented, good and bad, and so it gave people a real, true experience. And that's what I love about my seminars. That's why I do one a year, you know, big one like that.
Yeah.
But everybody gets something out of it, and I've been doing it for a long time, and they just keep getting bigger and bigger. More people come, and nobody ever complains.
Yeah, and it needs to be bigger and bigger. You know, it's time now. People need to wake up and move into who they really are, you know, start taking their position and quit, like, hiding in the back row.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been using your stuff now for a while. It's been
That's the other thing I wanted to get to. After we get past the excitement of what went on there and the personalities and all of that, which was everybody did something amazing, the medical documentation, I think I'm going to have you work with my receptor, so when I present that study to the FDA, I'm going to have you a part of that. You know?
Okay, cool. That'd be fun.
Yeah. But I just want to tell my audience that Dr. Valerie, even though she's a very high spiritually energy, she's very... incremental in documenting some amazing stuff that's irrefutable, and she's putting together a body of evidence to demonstrate what this technology does that I think is going to be able to put it up against some pretty hard skeptics. Normally, I don't present this to skeptics because skeptics really, to me, don't exist in life. They're skeptical of their own existence, and therefore they're skeptics.
Sure.
But at the same time, I think it'll help them realize they do exist and they can make a difference. So that's why I think it's important for you to continue doing what you're doing.
Oh, and I love doing it. I was so excited. I was calling Mikhail about every week and going, Mikhail, this is what we discovered this week.
Yeah.
And I was just so amazed and so grateful. And, you know, I had to think about when I first talked to you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I told the story about how I got to meet you on the air and about how my producer on the other radio show had insisted that you had to be on my show, and I said, well, that's kind of interesting. I'm paying for this, and he's telling me who I'm going to have on my show, and then I went and looked at your website and read your stuff and went, hey, you know, this guy's really interesting.
Yeah.
And then since then, you know, and bought the receptor and felt the difference, because I'm very energetically sensitive also, and, you know, felt the difference, and then as I got the products, especially once I got the projectors and put those up, that has been amazing. And then when I got them, I was thinking, okay, I've got to figure out some way. There's got to be some way to tell people how to do this, because I went through a lot of trial and error.
Let me tell you something. When Semyonti gave me the receptor, it's like, what's this? That's where I was. People think I figured this stuff out. You know, when we come out with a new product, and this is no lie, ask any of my old clients who've been around for 20, 30 years, I tell them, this is what I think it's going to do. This is how I think it's going to work, and I may be completely wrong. Go prove me wrong. Go prove me right. Just tell me if it does anything.
Uh-huh.
I swear to God, that's how I do it. And that's the only way to do it. And then after 5 years of putting a product on the market, of data collecting from all over the place, then I started making some claims after 5 years.
Wow.
And because of that, the government has never hassled me but once, and that was on the receptor, on the website, and they even told me that they wanted to run tests because they believed there was something to it, but I had to go buy the book if I was going to put it up on a website. So I took down my claims, and they weren't claims medically. They were claims that this appears to do this, which most product companies get away with that. Mm-hmm. Not me on that. They says, no, don't put anything up there until you know what it does, because we think there's something to it. And I thought that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I did what I was supposed to do. I wrote them a letter, and we made friends. I took it down, and they're waiting, you know, just to see what I can come up with.
Well, we definitely have to run some tests on that, because the tests that I ran, and I ran a whole bunch of tests, what I presented at your seminar was the basics of what I could glean from that in that short space.
Yeah.
I had the exit interviews on Wednesday, got out of there Wednesday afternoon as far as patients went, and then, you know, had to go and put as much together as I could, and then I left at 3 o'clock Thursday morning to travel to Laguna Beach. So,
where'd you come from? Where you? Oh, you're in Sedona, right?
I'm in Sedona.
Right? Yeah.
But you know, there's no quick way out of here, basically. So you have to take the shuttle down to the airport, and my shuttle came at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Wow. So, what airport do you go to?
Phoenix.
Whoa, that's a long drive. That's a 3-hour drive, isn't it? Or 2-hour drive?
That's about about an hour and a half, 2 hours, depending on traffic.
Wow.
And but I had to get there early because they didn't have one going later.
All the way to Phoenix.
Yep, all the way to Phoenix. So I went to Phoenix and I sat around and I waited for a couple hours for the plane. And so meanwhile, I was, you know, trying to compile stuff before I left because I knew I was going to be too tired to try to do it while I was waiting for the plane. And so I had done all these copies and overheads and all this kind of stuff. And there were a lot of other things that I wanted to include, so I'll have to do another presentation at some point that's got all the information. But as I told the audience, basically what I did was I took every piece of measurement equipment that I had in my office that would make any kind of sense,
yeah.
And I used it. And I was lucky enough to have a lady who's very skilled in using RFI, the resonant field imaging, and took measurements of everybody before and after the room.
Right.
Meanwhile, I did the blood pressure and pulse. I did the eye chart to see if we had any visual changes, which we did. And I didn't get a chance to really mention all the medical stuff in my little talk. But we had people whose blood pressure dropped down 20 points diastolic and stayed down. And that was without drugs or anything. All I did was put them in the room.
That was in your room?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was
but
amazing
what,
stuff.
What is their return, what is it? Systolic is the return back to the heart. That's the pressure of the lower one. How does that figure vary, the return to the heart pressure?
Well, you're looking for the, on the diastolic, that's the one we worry about.
Yeah, the diastolic, coming back to the heart, right. The
return, the diastolic
the
needs to be below 90.
Not pumping 90. Out, but pumping it back in.
Yeah, it's got to be below 90.
Right.
Because otherwise there's
right, exactly, down. Below 90, that's right.
Yeah. And so what we had was we had people who had hypertension,
right.
And all I did was I measured them and I threw them in the room for 15 minutes, and then they came out and everything was better. And then we saw a gradual decline in the original blood pressure. We saw it decline over the space of the 2 months. And again, as I mentioned to the audience, I didn't do anything but put these people in there.
How about putting them in a room with nothing in it and testing them? Have you tried that yet?
Well, I try that every week with my normal patients.
Oh, okay. And so you take your normal patients and bring them in that room?
No, I just, you know, when you're just doing regular blood pressure and pulse, you don't expect it to change by itself.
Right, no,
and
you
so
don't.
So it doesn't, you know, and so I give them supplements and everything else to do that. But with these guys, these were not my patients. These were people that just came in to do the study.
Oh, okay, just walk. Okay, I got it, yeah.
Yeah, they walked in, they asked if they could be in the study, and I said, okay, so I picked 12 people. Well, actually, I had 14, but two of them dropped out. And what I did was I made them sign this little thing stating that they understood that there would be no medical care provided. All I was doing was taking measurements and, you know, getting their feedback. So we had people that just by chance had hypertension, and they were improved with their blood pressure over the space of that 8 weeks, and all I did was put them in the
okay,
room.
Okay, so, yeah, you did a real study then. You actually tracked it and graphed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
it's all tracked and graphed,
okay,
and everything
cool.
else. And we did everybody exactly the same way. The other thing that happened that was interesting, since I had the Geiger counter, I decided I was going to go ahead and use it. And then I had two hypotheses there. One was that we all have background radiation thanks to our government's use of depleted uranium that makes its way back over here.
Right.
And the other one was that...
Also the water.
Yeah. And so the other thing, too, was I figured if they didn't have a lot of background radiation and they went through an enlightening experience in that room, then they should have become more radioactive just because of the experience. And I measured the room before. There was no radioactivity in that room. So we
knew
that.
Well, neutralize the slow neutron action, which is, which is a form of radiation. It's the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it definitely did. It dropped everybody down. Like when I went in, I was between 5 and 7 millirems, and it dropped me down to zero.
What radiation? Are you using one of ours, or which one are you
using? Yeah, I'm using the Victorine.
Okay.
So I had it on the X1. And so we had everybody from anywhere from 0 to 7 on the background radiation on the millirems. And so it dropped everybody down to 0 pretty much, like 0 to 1, after 15 minutes.
Right.
And there was nothing else on in that room. Well, now, there is an ion shower that's over the bed, but it was not on. So it was just, you know, the ion shower just hanging there.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to use that for your pre-testing because that will lower, that lowers their carbon dioxide levels immediately.
Yeah, so I didn't turn that on. I just kind of left it. I mean, it's attached to the ceiling, so it got left there. But the main thing was I just had the projectors and the laser lights on the projector, and then I used your Galactic Meditation CD for everybody. And it was timed, you know, we used a kitchen timer, you know, and we had it timed for 15 minutes. And we had people that didn't want to get off the table. And I said, get off the table. It's a study.
Now, your table doesn't have anything in it. It's just a table, right?
It's just a massage table, yeah.
You need to design me one of... I need to design you one of my power tables when you're
ready. Oh, that'd be cool.
We haven't even talked about that yet.
Yeah, we got to do that. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
And because, you know, I'm of the school of get them well and get them out, you know?
Yeah, well, I got a table that will blow your mind.
Cool.
It takes a while to build it, but I build a few of them. I'll talk to you some other time about how it works.
Okay, cool. That'd be fun. Anyway, yeah. So then the other thing that I noticed was my one of my teachers, Torquem Seradarian, was my teacher.
Who?
Torquem Seradarian.
Okay.
And he was a teacher up here in Stone. He's one of those guys that you normally only read about.
Yeah.
You know, he was not a guru. He was brought up in the Tibetan monasteries and just a peaceful, beautiful, harmonious man. You know, just an incredible guy.
Well, you know, Armenia and Romania, that's the Count Saint Germain country.
Yeah, and he was Armenian.
White Brotherhood.
Yep, he was Armenian.
Good energy.
Yeah, just an awesome guy. And he was my teacher for quite some time, and he used to tell me, when you reach a certain level spiritually, you will become radioactive. I thought...
Well, that's true.
Yeah, well, I thought he meant that you would just radiate out love from your heart.
Yeah.
But then I thought, what if he really meant that you actually are radioactive?
Yeah,
so
you
I
are.
Had the two hypotheses. One was that if you had background radiation, it would go to zero and by using the room, and the other one was that if you had a spiritual experience while you were in there, then you would radiate more, which
right.
we did prove. So that happened in quite a few people at different times. The
yeah,
other thing
sure.
that we did was we checked the RFI, and the RFI is a new thing put out by ITEM, bioenergy.com,
right.
and they have a program that you can go through and become a certified energy management associate or something, or monitoring associate. Anyway, that is actually more precise than the best Russian Kirlian photography units with the computer.
Well, Kirlian was good in his time.
Yeah, and this is way more precise, and you can measure the 2-inch level gives you the energy coming off the organs. So, for instance, if you did the brain, you know, the crown chakra, you're actually measuring brain waves. Then you go to the 12-inch measurement, and that gives you the endocrine system and also psychological. Then if you go out a couple feet, you're doing the spiritual. So
right.
it's really kind of interesting. You can measure, you know, all these different areas, and they've got it all mapped out as to what it means. So my co-researcher, Brenda Richards, was doing the RFI stuff, and she's the one who did the last interpretation of, you know, what happened with people, the short synopsis
right.
of what they went through. And so we used that, and I checked their eyesight. A lot of people had improved vision, and some people got a little bit worse. But what we noticed was people went through a transitional stage, and that was evidenced by a black color. And, you know, the company that does this said the black was, you know, dark energy or passion. And what we determined through this was that it was also transitional energy. So when somebody was just getting ready to make a huge leap up into the next octave, they had this black that would
right.
appear, that frequency. And so we watched that. We tracked it through people, you know, for the entire 8 weeks. The other thing was we had a dog. Because one of the people was blind, so we had a seeing eye dog, and we kind of looked at the dog and looked at each other and said, well, what the hell, we've got the dog here. Why don't we go ahead and do her readings? And she turned out to be the only enlightened being in the whole group, which was really funny. Yeah, we enjoyed her quite a bit. So we told her at the end about how we realized she was enlightened, and then she started kind of telepathically talking with us, which was a lot of fun. And so we did all these measurements, and I think I had written to you in an email that if you wanted something else measured, you needed to send me the equipment, because I was ready to do anything. I just took whatever I had and did those measurements. So that was a lot of fun, and now we have proof that the holographic projectors do work, and
yeah.
they work in that particular configuration, which you said was a healing configuration, and it definitely is. And
now, I got to interrupt you right here.
Yeah.
Okay, today... And I see what spirit was doing here now. And when I say spirit, it's at least the higher force that regulates me and probably you.
Mm-hmm.
The blue laser came. One of the blue lasers came in. I told you I was working with this new company. I was,
mm-hmm.
didn't like what I was working with before.
Yeah.
I finally, after 6 months, got a blue laser in.
Mm-hmm.
I fired that puppy up, played around with it. Now I see why that, I see now why you weren't, I couldn't get one for you because you wouldn't, it would have messed up your testing because you had to be, you got to be ready for this. It's Jack Nicholson says, get a load of me. And when you get this blue laser over there and you add it to your little array of what you got now, you're going to be in turbocharged mode.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm serious. This thing kicks butt.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it really, really enhances the whole vibratory frequency. It's running at 472 nanometers. Blue is the heart chakra.
Mm-hmm.
And it explodes the heart chakra.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Because the green one's working with the thyroid, okay, mm-hmm. and the red one's working with the pituitary gland. So you got the energy down, ready to go through the hypothalamus, through the throat, down into the heart and down into the rest of the body.
Well, now, how are we going to put that blue laser in there?
Yeah, the blue is coming now. I'll have it over here. I'll have yours over here in a week or so. I'm going to get it in. I want to make sure this company had a good product before I spent more money on it, you know?
Oh, sure. Well, I was going to do the blue laser in my house.
Well, I don't think you're going to do that. You can do it. You're going to get a second one. You're going to be moving it around. Trust me. I know this. You're in for a big shock.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Well, you know me. I'm always up there going, more power.
I'm not trying to get your rant here, but it's too late now. The cat's out of the bag.
Well, you know, what I want to know, though, Dr. Bell, is how am I going to incorporate that into my healing room?
I don't know. You're going to figure that out.
I'm going to tell you, huh?
Yeah. I've got a mirror I'll send you with it.
Okay.
It's a top surface mirror. It's a big, long, narrow thing. I'll give you one of them.
Okay.
And you can go to different angles. You can put it on the wall, and you can reflect it wherever you want, and you can paste the mirror up on the wall with some double-sided tape or something once you figure out how you're going to use it.
Hmm.
I got an idea how I do it, but I'll let you figure it out. I'll send you the mirror and the laser.
I'm thinking right now it needs to go right on somebody's heart.
Whoa. Yeah, if I were going to do that, I would get a receiver crystal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Make sure it doesn't go in their eyes because it's powerful.
Oh, yeah.
And let it hit that crystal in that holographic field. And I would say you could use a pretty big crystal. This thing will light up a damn big crystal.
Okay? Cool.
Pardon my French, but it's a big, it's got a lot of power. This thing will light up a master crystal like a flash bulb.
Well, that's what I was going to do with it. I was going to light up my master crystal with it.
Yeah, you're going to need two of them. But
oh, man.
Hit the first one. Yeah.
You're going to have to give me a volume discount then.
Yeah, I know. Lisa, I just got this thing going.
Well,
I'm getting you a laser. It's going to be 60 milliwatts.
Mm-hmm.
In that price that we had talked about, whereas 60 milliwatt blue lasers are selling for twice that much right now.
Wow.
On the market, even wholesale. I actually talked to a guy in China. We made friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to work to get the whole thing going, and he's the only guy in China that I've been able to really communicate with laser-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets the thing here. I get the thing ordered. It's here in 3 days, right through customs, right through everything. He's got it down.
Interesting.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. Not a big problem like some of the other Chinese people I work with. This guy is a straight shooter, and he's very, very cool. He's really nice to talk to on the phone.
You know, I'm thinking that, the crystal that I bought from you, the Master Crystal,
yeah, that's beauty, isn't it?
Oh, it's incredible.
When you hit that with a blue laser, that's so clear.
Mm-hmm.
That will light up like a flash bulb, a blue flash bulb. That is we don't have anything that clear around anymore. That was it. That was the last one.
Yeah, and it's just wonderful. It sits in my front window and sings.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm just wondering if I'm supposed to bring that one to the healing room, but I'm thinking that may be just a little bit too much power for some people. I don't want them to melt on the table.
Well, I would get a driver.
Mm-hmm.
I got some over here that are a lot cheaper than that one was, and they're pretty good size, not as big as that. You don't want to exceed the size of that one,
mm-hmm.
and use it as a driver. And they don't have to be in the same building or
mm-hmm.
even the same neighborhood. They communicate once you put them together for about a week,
mm-hmm.
and then take it down to wherever you want. They'll remember each other. Just make sure smaller than the one you bought. I've got one over here that'll work for you when you're ready.
Okay, because I have some bigger crystals. I have three of them sitting in my office. They're pyramid generators.
Yeah, well, that's fine. Sorry to have generators, but only one master crystal.
Yeah. So
the other thing I wanted to bring up, what the FDA was concerned with and what I wanted to do is because we're working with a hydrogen atom, and the hydrogen atom modulates on one level, the chakra system and the endocrine system, and that therefore determines the amount of secretion of the endocrine glands and hormonal exchange into the bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I need to have done with great validity for the FDA is hormonal changes with color stone changes in the bridge of the receptor. That's a test. That's part of the test that they're real keen on.
So
I don't know
need,
if you can figure out a way of doing that. That's why I was going to have to use the university and some of their equipment to get some studies. But if you can get me some guidelines to take over there, because it's some pretty high-end equipment, because hormones, as people know, maybe you and I know, but a lot of people don't know, hormones, when they go into the bloodstream, are parts per billion almost and parts per 100 million.
Yeah.
They're not just like alcohol, which is 0.01% or something. We're talking here parts per billion, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And that affects your consciousness.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's hard to measure. You just can't grab a test tube and put it in a laboratory and get a measurement, because it ain't going to happen. There's no quantitative or qualitative instruments that are normally accessible to most people that can make any sort of a measurement, let alone even detect them, you know.
Oh, yeah, and hormone tests are extremely expensive.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
I'm one of the few naturopaths that actually uses blood for hormone testing.
Yeah.
Most people will go to the salivary because it's cheaper, or they'll go to the urine, but then you're just, you know, measuring the metabolites. But I go with the blood because it's the gold standard. And I tell people, if I'm going to give you bioidentical hormones, I have to know exactly where you're at. You know,
exactly. That's where we need to be. And then we're on the same page.
Yeah, so what we need, if you've got it set up at the university, if they're willing to do that testing, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do, yeah.
Because I can draw the blood, I can run the study here. You know, I have so many people in town that want to be part of a year-long study.
Yeah.
And they're up for it because they're getting stuff for free.
Yeah.
And I figured that they got about $3,000 worth of services free going through this thing for 2 months, and I don't think they even realize it. But it ran out to about $3,000 a piece that they got.
Yeah.
So for a year-long study, they're going to get a huge benefit. And the biggest benefit of all is that they actually had a change in consciousness. And my study was about...
Well, that's what hormones, the first unit of biochemistry, possess consciousness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, that room just lines everything right up. And so we had people who were sleeping better, who were more creative. I mean, one of the guys is a famous author that's sold... some of his books to Hollywood, and one I think has just been made into a movie. And he said he did his best creative writing of his entire life during this 2 months that we had the study going.
Oh yeah, that's good. Cool. Yeah, once they get in the energy, that, you know, if you go in the average house, and you got there's some nice furniture there, a couple of nice lamps, maybe a Tiffany or two, and a couple of paintings on the wall, carpet here and there, and some flowers or plants. That's
mm-hmm.
about it.
Yeah.
You walk in there, you toss a couple projectors, a few lasers in there, you've just tripled the ambience of the place.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care if they got a $1 million Tiffany lamp in the corner like Jack Nicholson might have, because he collects them.
Mm-hmm.
You throw a $500, $1,000 Paradigm system in there, a basic system with a red laser, the whole place has just been outdone by that one little increment.
Oh, yeah. Well, even in my house, and I don't have things set up by any means, because, you know, I'm in remodel madness.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, everything is a mess everywhere. But I have my master crystal there in the front, basically because it likes the sunshine, and so I've got it there, and then I've got my generator crystals are scattered around the house. But when I first brought them home, I had them in my bedroom, and I had them all like in a little ring around my master crystal, and I introduced them all, and they were all really happy because they all came from the Coleman mine.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It was big buddy time.
Big reunion.
Yeah. So they were really happy about that, and then I had to move everything because of the remodel, and so I don't have the stuff set up at my house. But still, people come in and they say, "Yeah, well, you know, you got stuff all over the place, but it still feels good."
Oh, that's true.
And I mean, you know, I had one guy though that came in. He was shocked and appalled. He could not believe the mess that my house is in. I said, "You know what? We all have a choice of how we're going to face life, and there's nothing I can do about this until everything gets done." And so my choice was I could either let it drive me crazy and ruin my life, or I could decide that it doesn't matter. And I've decided it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. Well, do you notice my house, when you were here, I got all natural wood furniture, you know,
mm-hmm.
like pieces of wood sliced in half and a lot of crystals. I don't have too much in here other than that, because I like to have all these system stuff in here.
Oh, yeah, and I want to get more system stuff in my house, presuming I ever get it fixed, but...
Yeah.
You know, I'd love to have my bedroom set up all with the Pyridyn stuff. I do have a Portamid, and I have the gold capstone on it and the Omni Orb, and I have the crystal that Mikkel picked out for me.
Yeah,
but
you want to get a radiator in there as soon as possible.
Get a what?
You'll have a blast doing astral travel. Just toss pictures in it where you want to go at night.
Well, I do pretty well with that anyway. You know,
I
come out of my body and go to these really cool places. But I noticed that I sleep much better under the portament, although it took me a little while. You know, the first week or so, I was kind of, well, the first night, I detoxed the entire night. That was my only major detox, though. Because, you know, I...
But, yeah, usually it takes 3 months.
Yeah, you know, I'm a naturopath, so even though I don't look like I know what I'm doing, I always tell people, you know, I can make anybody lose weight or gain weight except me. You know?
You have really good skin and really clear eyes. That's what I look at. And you don't have bad breath.
Yeah, well, that's
matters.
True.
Clear eyes, good skin, no bad breath, you're fine.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
that's the main test.
Yeah, and you know, I'm up walking around healing all these other people. And
you got thick hair, too. That's good.
Yeah, well, that's true. It used to be a lot thicker. But, yeah, I tell people, you know, there's various stages of health, and health has nothing to do with whether you ever get sick or not. It has to do with how quick you recover.
Exactly.
And I recover pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's important.
And the Pyridine systems have really helped me because it's just another little piece of armament that I use, you know, because I take your vitamins and minerals, which I love, by the way. They make a huge difference.
Yeah, ever look at the label on those vitamins?
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff in there.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. And I can feel the difference in my body right away, and I like that. It's a light vitamin. It really helps your light to vibrate better.
Yeah, it's all vegetarian, and 233 ingredients in those formulas, and they're all synergistically, so they all digest at different times. You know, the oil goes off at a certain time, the C stuff goes off, the B complex, the antioxidants, all of it works at different points in your body. And you do them on an empty stomach, no food required. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that helps a lot, too, and you don't get sick when you take them on an empty stomach either, like you do with so many other vitamins.
Yeah, because the others are acidic,
mm-hmm.
and that's wrong.
Yeah, so I enjoy doing all that stuff, and I can feel the improvement. I have to tell you that since I started with your stuff in August, I think it was August, either that or late July, I have had a huge shift, not only in my overall consciousness and my mood and everything else and in my physical energy, but just everything in life has really come together with more focus. It's on a roll, and when stuff happens, you know, now I just can, well, now I go in my room and go, that's unacceptable.
Oh, yeah.
Or I stand there with my major bling, you know, now I got major bling on my chest with all the gold.
Yeah, you know what's funny, though, if you want to test where you're at with all this stuff, check into a hotel,
mm-hmm.
which usually doesn't have anything going on.
Oh, yeah.
That's why we sell a lot of those microstars that I had at the thing there, because people carry those around.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to have one of those. And,
yeah, those
you know,
good.
Don and I were sitting over by one of the fire stars, the one that had all the pinks and purples in it and stuff. And we're over on that side of the room, and the north side of the room, and we're just sitting there going, well, this feels pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was great, and he and I are both kind of going, well, let's move a little closer over to this one.
How'd you like Ron Lochner, my attorney?
Oh, he's so sweet.
Yeah. This guy is one of the most powerful attorneys on the planet, and he's got fire stars and crystals and everything, projectors and radiator. He's got it all.
Well,
he even has one of the receptors that I used to wear. He bought it right off my chest, and I had to get another one made. He wanted it. This guy practices what he preaches.
Well, it was kind of funny, too, because we were sitting there on Monday.
Yeah.
We were having a little talk and just sharing, and so he popped his projector out on his chest, and I had mine out there. And so between the two of us, we had this major bling action.
Oh, yeah.
It was really funny. But I so enjoyed meeting his partner, too, and she's just lovely.
She's hot. And he goes into these courtrooms, and he wins about every case, and he's got all this stuff under his suit. Those opposing its counsel don't have any idea where this guy's coming from. He's our BBS attorney, by the way.
Really?
You know that?
Oh, cool. He was just so much fun. I just so enjoyed meeting him. And,
yeah.
Oh, and I got to
like Don Newsom. That was really good.
Oh, Don is awesome.
Yeah.
I just love Don and Doug. I got to tell you.
Don't let Don hear that, though. Don't ever tell him that. It goes right to his head. Yeah, don't ever say that in front of him.
Oh, God, he's so funny.
Tell him how much you don't like him. That's what he likes to hear.
Oh, okay. Yeah, 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 right.
Tell him he's stupid and he looks ugly, and then he's happy then.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. He doesn't say that to me. Maybe he just doesn't want you to hug him. I don't know.
Oh, he doesn't want me near him, you know.
Hey, I have to tell you, Dr. Bell,
yeah.
when I was going back, you know, I missed my plane because I was I was talking with Ron, and so I missed the plane, and then there was all this traffic because it was Memorial Day. So I finally get to the airport, and I'm going standby. And so they told me, well, there's absolutely no way you're getting on that plane because
right.
We have so many standbys and all this kind of stuff, and we are way oversold.
Yeah.
But, and I said, well, put me on it anyway. And they said,
yeah, right.
Okay. And then I got up there and they said, oh, absolutely no way. You might as well go look for another plane. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. Just keep my name. I'm here, you know, and I've got to get on that plane. And they said, nope, it isn't going to happen. Absolutely not. No way.
Yeah.
And so I sat there and I thought, well, that's unacceptable. So I hauled out my projector.
Yeah.
And I kind of clutched it, and I just kind of said, my desire is to be on that plane, and so I can get home in time, and because it was going to be about 8:30 by the time I got home to Sedona, you know, once I got on the plane, and I'd already been sitting around waiting for hours, and so I went, okay, I desire to be on that plane. I know I'm on that plane. I get the last seat on the plane.
There you go.
And I saw
myself.
Where'd you
sit? Where was it?
Which seat?
Yeah.
I was in 19D.
Is that a window or aisle?
I was on the aisle.
That's my favorite seat, the aisle seat.
Because
I can get up and go to the bathroom a lot. Because I just drink a ton of coffee and iced tea before I fly, and I always have to go to the bathroom. And
not me. I just go
aisle
to sleep.
D. That's so cool.
Yeah, and it was so funny because I did. I got the last available seat on the plane, and
and it was an aisle seat. They always stuff you in the middle somewhere.
I know, isn't that amazing?
Yeah, aisle's my favorite choice. I don't know what you like, but I don't like the window because it's too many people to climb over to get out, you know?
Oh, see, I don't get out. I go in, I sit down, and I go to sleep, so,
okay,
you know.
Okay, so window works for you.
Yeah, window works fine for me, but I hate being in the middle.
Yeah, I do too.
And so it was kind of funny because everybody was looking at me kind of funny because I kept saying I'm getting on that plane, and they kept saying, no, there's no way. And here I got the very last seat that was available, so I thought that was hysterical. And I was telling Mikkel, and she was laughing. She said, oh, my gosh. She said, that actually happened? And I said, oh, yeah. I said, I'm sitting here with the projector on my chest going, you know, I know these things work because I just tested them.
Oh, yeah, you just know they work. That's the secret to knowing they work.
Yeah.
Just know it. Not believe in it. Know it.
Yeah.
That's
and
the trick.
It was just hysterical, so I did that. And then when you told me that the personal projector actually tunes the other projectors, that gave me a piece of the puzzle I needed.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know that.
Because when you wear one on your neck, it's cool, but you got to have the transmitter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which, I mean, you know, that's the big dog. That's the programming machine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so for me, you know, to have that little piece of information, I mean, I just figured it was my intent because I go in there and I program the room all the time. And so I went in the room for the first time with my new projector on today.
Yeah.
And I walked in, and I could feel the difference. And I thought, well, maybe it's because I'm really tired, you know, because traveling kind of takes it out of me. But I went in there, and I thought, huh, that's interesting. And I told
you. Had you not been wearing one before?
No, I was wearing the silver one before.
Okay, now
you
got the gold
one. I just changed to the gold with the platinum bridge and
the
diamond.
Oh, that's much more powerful, yeah.
Oh, yeah, but I didn't feel that much difference when I put it on. I just put it on, and I thought, oh, that's nice. And, you know, no major surge or anything like that. Of course, I'm pulling a lot of power through me every day.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, and I live like a walking meditation, so.
Yeah, Kriya Yoga, that's called.
Yeah, and I just kind of, you know, that's how I live my life. So it was not that big a deal, you know. It wasn't like it was going to knock me over or anything. And when I walked in the room today, I was really tired, and I told Susan, let me just lay here for 15 minutes. I'll flip on the negative ion shower and, because I've been traveling and, you know, picked up a lot of carbon monoxide and stuff from the travel. So just let me just lay here for about 15 minutes, and then we can go to lunch. I was there like less than 5 minutes, and I hopped up off the table feeling absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, you were on the ion shower.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I was going to bring that one home. I sold that one at the seminar and two more behind it. So where do I get one? Well,
oh, man.
I don't get them very often. They get up here, and every time I bring one up to the house, it's sold within hours.
Well, you got to just dedicate one for yourself.
It doesn't work. Because people want them, you know.
Oh, yeah. They're awesome. It's
awesome. Yeah, they want them bad, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I told you, when Dr. George Swartz wandered into my office 2 hours after I asked for help, and he had the exact answer that I needed, that was just really funny. And he was having an MSG attack at the time, and he's the guy that wrote the book In Bad Taste and wrote all these letters to the FDA against MSG and such, and of course, they ignored him, you know, and he's a big muckety-muck as far as what he's done for the United States with medicine. And you know, they just didn't want to hear it, of course, because they're making big money off it, and that's part of their evil plan anyway.
Right.
And he had gone to one of the restaurants here in town, and he said they must have used MSG. His eyes were rolling in his head.
Yeah, some people have deadly poison, too.
Oh, yeah, he was really ill. And I was looking at him, and that's the first time I ever met him. I said, are you okay? Have you been driving all night or what? And he said, I'm having an MSG attack. I said, ah, come with me. And I took him into the room, and I stood him. I just stood him underneath the ion shower. In less than a minute, his eyes came clear, and the slurred speech went away, and he was bright, and he was able to talk to me. And we talked until, I don't know, 9 or 10 o'clock at night. But it was just amazing to see that change in less than a minute.
Yeah, well, realize your body is supposed to reproduce 90 million cells per second. And as soon as you have something like an MSG attack, all the immune system is concentrating on that. The body can't reproduce itself anymore, and there's no negative ion source. So now you got a negative ion source of way beyond 90 million per second, you know, I mean 100 billion ions per cubic centimeter. So the body just takes off fixing itself. It relieves the immune system, and you become high.
Oh,
really,
it was
cool
wonderful.
How it works.
It was wonderful to watch.
Yeah,
I had no idea it was going to do that.
Yeah, it makes believers out of people.
Yeah, so that was really cool. And listeners, if you have never experienced a negative ion shower, you need to experience one.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, it's like spending a day at the beach. You know, it just relaxes you, and you feel better because the positive ions really cause a lot of pain, and they cause disease, and they cause
brain. A killing in 24 hours if that's all you have.
Mm-hmm.
You're dead. And we found that out when I worked at NASA with the astronaut program, the space medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is, what the concern was when you're coming back on reentry, especially and taking off, the air out there is shearing off the negative ions from inside with a positive charge from the atmosphere. So you end up with a positive charge on the inside of the ship. It's deadly.
Oof.
They had to ionize everything on the spaceship. Not just oxygen, but also ionization. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I can understand
that. All programs, all spacecraft have it.
Well, you know, I've seen so much happen with that negative ion shower, and of course I've got that in the room with the projectors, and, you know, I've got your music in there and all that stuff. Of course, I had a couple of people that said, well, I'd like to try my own meditation music, and I'm laughing, and I said, it's not going to be the same. You know, your own meditation music is for something else. But I said,
yeah, it has to be synchronized frequency-wise.
Yeah, and I said, this was made specifically for use with this equipment. And I know it works. I mean, the first time I played it in that room, I said, wow, this is great.
I got a bunch of new stuff I want to bring out, too. I got it's in my head right now. I just need to go down, sit down, and record it.
Well, the thing I really love about the Galactic Meditation is the gongs and the Tibetan chants. And, you know, that really helps.
That remember when I was telling you the story about the fire star and the guy that was real pushy? And then he finally, after he kept bugging me when I was living in Munich, and after 90 days, the ship came and he brought me a video.
Mm-hmm.
That's Werner Ahrens, and he's the guy that played with me on that.
Wow.
The musician on that. We did that in that room with the Firestar just before the spaceship came.
Wow.
That's where that was recorded. We did it on a two-track Sony DAT deck, which had a bad channel, and then our producer fixed it, and it came out perfect. Yeah, and he played 19 different Japanese bowls to make those sounds. I had a Palladian ship, and I played two synthesizers, a D50 and a Korg M1.
Well, I'll tell you, that it's a very powerful CD. That's my favorite one that you do.
Yeah.
And that's the one that I keep on the stereo in the projector room.
Yeah.
And any listeners that didn't know it, I have the projector room public access. You do have to pay a fee, but I made it public access because it's an enlightenment room.
And you get a lot of new people in there all the time?
Oh, yeah. We have people that wander in. They have no idea why they're there. They come wandering in, and the little complex that I'm in is very small, but it has this beautiful little courtyard inside of it, and you would never have any idea looking at it from the parking lot that it was so pretty, you know, because it's just like this ugly outside building. Doesn't look special at all.
Now, how do they find you? I mean, you have a sign out front or what?
I don't have anything special. I just have my doctor's sign out there.
Wow.
And they
you don't have
come
a sign out there, spaceport, enter here.
Yeah, that's an idea. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
You know, the whole room has become a portal, and it's stretched out beyond the room now, and now the whole office is a portal. And, you know, when Susan first started helping me out over there, she'd be saying this or that, or, oh, this doesn't work. And I said, really, do you want it not to work? And she'd say, what? And I'd say, did you forget where you are? This is Manifestation Central. You have to be careful what you say and what you think.
Yeah.
And so as a result, she's changed dramatically in the last couple of months, and she just doesn't go there anymore. You know, now it's easy, and her life has changed, and mine's changed. And, you know, for me, it's like my life is on fast forward, so it's never fast enough for me.
I'm used to it. Yeah, I like it, though.
Yeah.
Normal, when it's not, when it's in normal play, it's too boring.
Well, that's for sure. That's why I wanted to get the gold projector, because I got the silver one with the pink sapphires, thinking that, well, I'd kind of like to see this stuff happen. And then I got it, and I thought, well, it's really lovely, and it's got a great atmosphere of love with it, but it's too slow.
Yeah, well, that platinum, let me tell you something. When you start playing around with platinum, there's a reason why that stuff's $1,000 or more an ounce, because
mm-hmm.
it kicks butt. That's all
does.
Gold gets you up and running. You put the two together, it kicks butt.
Oh, yeah, and I've got some beautiful diamonds in mine, too. So with the platinum
right.
bridge on top of the gold, it's like, woohoo.
I heard something murmuring in the background.
Yeah,
what the hell was that?
Uh-oh.
What was that? What was that moaning back there? Something coming out of the grave?
It's a hook.
Huh?
It's the hook. It's coming after us.
That's
uh-oh.
Right.
All right. Well, we're going to have to sign off then. And thank you so much, Dr. Bell, for being on. Thank you for the great seminar.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and,
thanks for coming, being part of it.
Oh, it was wonderful. And I encourage listeners to go. And we'll do another one next year.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks a lot. I'm going to put on my exit music here. And then I'm going to listen to your show in a little bit.
Okay, yeah, it's coming on tonight.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Dr. Bill.
All right, thanks, Valerie.
Mm-hmm.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.